This is the 2020 State House Podcast, brought to you by South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Funding is brought to you in part by SDN Communications, the South Dakota Bar Foundation, Missouri River Energy Services, and Touchstone Energy Cooperatives. A bill to prohibit collective bargaining for employees of the state's public universities is moving to the Senate floor. Proponents argue it gives the Board of Regents more flexibility to stay competitive. Opponents say it sends a negative message to the state's professors and complicates the hiring process. SDPB's Jackie Hendry has more.
Senate Majority Leader Chris Langer is the prime sponsor of Senate Bill 147. She says the current contracting agreement for public university faculty is more than 100 pages of time-locked agreements that hinder institutional flexibility.
This bill seeks to enhance the ability of our universities to compete in a competitive and ever-changing market by removing the barrier of the bargaining process and affording our universities the flexibility to adjust to the changing market in a timely and efficient fashion and to provide for the future workforce needs of our state.
A representative from Governor Noem's office also supports the bill, saying it could empower faculty senates who use open meetings to decide employment policies, as opposed to closed bargaining meetings. The faculty labor union COHE, or the Council of Higher Education, opposes the bill. Jeremiah Murphy is the registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Education Association, which includes COHE. He says this bill doesn't achieve the supposed goal.
So what they're eliminating is the very mechanism that creates efficiencies because you've got one union that covers the six campuses as opposed to six diverse faculty senates that you now have to have six discussions to do what under the status quo you can do with one discussion.
As for empowering faculty senates, Murphy says four out of six faculty senates in the state oppose this bill. The remaining two haven't yet been surveyed. He adds under existing law, the BOR is already able to impose a policy in the event of an impasse with the union. The bill passes committee on a 6-3 vote and moves next to the Senate floor. Representative Skylar Borglum introduced a similar bill in the House Judiciary Committee Monday morning. The committee deferred action until Wednesday. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Jackie Hendry.
South Dakota State Representative supported a bill yesterday that brings an affirmative defense for a pregnant woman to defend against controlled substance statutes that are already law. SDPB's Stephanie Rissler reports.
Representative Spencer Gosch is the prime sponsor of the bill, explaining to lawmakers in order for women to utilize this affirmative defense, they must receive adequate prenatal care, plus be enrolled in and complete a rehabilitation program. Gosch explains why he brought the bill this session.
You're pregnant, you're on drugs. That's unfortunate, and we understand that. But you need to come in and we need to save your baby. We need to get you in rehabilitation and we need to try to correct this. If baby could be born off of the controlled substance, that baby has got a much brighter future.
Gosch tells lawmakers that babies born on a controlled substance have no choice. This bill gives mothers assurance if she gets the care she needs and gets off drugs, she will receive help, including financial assistance.
We've heard it costs of anywhere from $20,000 to $200,000, depending on the situation that it costs to put this baby through the rehabilitation process in and of itself. We're talking about nurses that have to rock the baby, have to have skin-to-skin contact. We're talking about just a ton of things. These babies cry constantly because they are always in pain. We're talking about a lot of things that have to be done. Why shouldn't we spend that money to try to get mom off of drugs rather than spend it to try to get the baby off of drugs?
The majority of lawmakers agreed and passed the measure 67-1. It will now move to a Senate committee for further public hearings. To follow this bill or any bill this session, visit us at sd.net. For SDPB, I'm Stephanie Rissler.
House lawmakers are rejecting a proposal that would amend the statute of limitations for civil actions brought because of claims of childhood sexual abuse. The proposal is backed by a group of Native women who have been seeking to change the limitation for 15 years. SDPB's Lee Strubinger reports.
The bill removed a provision that no one over the age of 40 can bring a suit against a person or entity other than against the person who committed the offense. That provision was added in 2010. The bill this year would have also created a 2-year window for those whose cases were thrown out by that 2010 law to be able to bring a civil action for damages. Child USA, a think tank for child protection, says the average age of disclosure by those who experience child sexual abuse is 52 years old. Frances Hart of Wagner is a member of the Yankton Sioux tribe. She attended the St. Paul boarding school in Marty, South Dakota in the 50s and says she experienced sexual abuse in school. She says South Dakota should follow the lead of other states who don't have limitations placed on child sexual abuse claims.
Our children and our grandchildren would be in a safer world. This statute of limitation, I think it creates more problems for all the younger generation. Our lives are in jeopardy from perpetrators like this. So if you don't take them to court and you don't prosecute them, then what? Continues on and on and on.
Critics of the bill point to the provision in law that still allows victims to sue the person who perpetrated the sexual abuse. They say statutes of limitation are put in place because it becomes difficult to disprove claims based on passage of time. Witnesses may die or move away. The House Judiciary Committee rejected the proposal 8-2. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Lee Strupinger in Pierre.
A South Dakota Senate committee is rejecting a resolution urging Congress to rescind the Medals of Honor given to soldiers who participated in the Wounded Knee Massacre. The sponsor of the resolution says senators missed their chance to make history by saying what happened at Wounded Knee was not okay. SDPB's Lee Strubinger reports.
On December 29, 1890, around 470 U.S. soldiers surrounded Chief Bigfoot leading his people to the Red Cloud Agency in Pine Ridge. A shot rang out, and thus began one of the deadliest massacres in United States history. It happened on South Dakota soil. Estimates range of 150 to 300 Lakota elders, women, and children were killed. Republican State Senator Jim Bolin is a former history teacher. He opposes the resolution, which came up in a Senate Military and Veterans Affairs Committee. He says the decision to rescind Medals of Honor given to soldiers who participated in the massacre is a matter best left at the federal level.
Again, none of these people who were involved in these horrific, horrible, terrible, despicable acts were residents of South Dakota, and none of the orders that were given at any time were, to the best of my knowledge, or what was testified here today, ever came from anyone in the who was an official of the South Dakota state government, which at that time was only 1 year old. We had only been a state for 1 year.
Of those nearly 470 U.S. soldiers, 20 were given Medals of Honor. By contrast, 27 Medals of Honor were awarded to Marines out of the 70,000 sent to Iwo Jima during World War II. Democratic State Senator Troy Heinert brought the resolution. He's Sichangu Lakota from Mission and says a Senate resolution is reserved for petitioning the state's federal delegation.
To read some of the accounts from people who were there, both Indian and non-Indian, they all said what happened was terrible. What I don't understand is the Congress awarded Congressional Medals of Honor for those acts, and we aren't brave enough to say we shouldn't have.
Heinert says rescinding those medals would go a long way in helping descendants of Wounded Knee survivors heal. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Lee Strupinger in Pierre.
A bill to protect utilities from vandalism and trespassing has cleared its first committee hearing. The bill includes protections for electrical and communication structures, pipelines, and temporary pipe yards. The Senate Energy and Commerce Committee has removed a controversial section from the original bill, but at least one legislator says the state still might end up in court, as it did with last year's riot-boosting law. SDPB's Victoria Wicks has this report.
The state director of the Sierra Club came into the hearing as an opponent, but ended up switching sides. Mark Winiger said he had a specific objection to imposing sanctions on conspirators. He likened it to the riot-boosting law of 2019 that went after protest supporters.
My opposition was on Section 6, and I saw that and I thought, oh my God, here we go to federal court again.
He testified that the Sierra Club does not condone trespass and vandalism, and with the elimination of Section 6, he was okay with the bill. However, Winninger changed his mind again after he heard Senator Craig Kennedy questioning energy lobbyist Brett Kenneke, who helped to draft the bill that makes it a crime to interfere with construction.
So tell me how you interfere with the construction of a pipeline. Does that include protesting?
It doesn't include all forms of protest. Protesters can certainly interfere, but protest doesn't have to be an interference.
Kenneke says punishment is increased if the interference was done knowingly, and it would be up to the prosecutor to prove the mindset of the defendant. Kennedy voted against the bill and gave his reason.
You're dealing with the fact that people may protest a pipeline construction, and we're going to be right back in federal court, and we're going to be sued again for a First Amendment violation.
The bill passed 5-2, with Senator Blake Curd joining Kennedy in dissent. After the hearing, Mark Winninger sent out an alert that Sierra Club opposes Senate Bill 151 and that he had contacted the organization's attorneys. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks.
After more than 2 hours of testimony and discussion, the House Health and Human Services Committee rejects a bill that prohibits schools from requiring vaccinations. STPB's Jackie Hendry reports.
House Majority Leader Lee Qualm sponsored the bill and says it's unfortunate it's been referred to as anti-vax. He says it's really about medical freedom.
It does not ban vaccinations, and I want to be clear that I am not opposed to vaccinations. They have saved millions of lives. For the vaccination portion of this bill provides the freedom to decide if you want to get all the vaccinations as scheduled, some of the vaccinations, or none of the vaccinations, and use a different way to increase the immune system in yourself and your children.
In opponent testimony, State Secretary of Health Kim Mulsum-Risden pushed back against assertions that vaccines aren't proven to be safe.
Children who are not vaccinated are more than 35 times more likely to contract measles and 6 times more likely to contract pertussis compared to vaccinated children. That's a fact. We know that vaccines are safe. The U.S. vaccine supply is rigorously tested and monitored for safety. Don't let people tell you otherwise.
After hearing from parents and medical professionals, the committee decides to send the bill to the 41st day. Representative Rhonda Milstead says the decision is a matter of doing what's best for the whole community.
There's nothing here that says a parent doesn't, they have to get vaccinations. But they're required for school. They're required when you enter the space of other children.
The bill is defeated on a 10-2 vote. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Jackie Hendry.
You can keep up with the top legislative news every day by listening to the 2020 Statehouse podcast. For additional programming and news, listen to us online at sdpb.org. Be sure to download the free SD.net app on your mobile device for live committee meetings, floor sessions, and daily archives of the People's Business and Peer. Be sure to connect with us on social media by liking the SDPB News Facebook page and following at SDPB News on Twitter. Funding is provided in part by SDN Communications, the South Dakota Bar Foundation, Missouri River Energy Services, and Touchstone Energy Cooperative. This has been a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.